What's up, Schmodown fans? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Schmodown. I'm Star Wars competitor Andrew DiMolanta.
And I'm Nikki DiMolanta.
Future Star Wars competitor Nikki DiMolanta.
Oh, I don't know about that. What was he?
Thank you for joining us on this another episode of Beyond the Schmodown.
Beyond! I don't know why. The way you said it made me think of that.
Yeah.
Beyond the Schmodown.
God, we haven't had Goddard on in like 2 months.
I know.
It's a crime.
It's really upsetting. I feel like I haven't talked to him in forever.
And
quarantine's been really taking its toll on me. I don't know about you guys.
I think he still listens to Joan. If he doesn't, somebody tell him. There's so much to talk about and a lot of stuff going on in personal life. And it's a lot of stuff. So
lots going on right now.
Lots going on. But we do have, what, 4 or 5 matches to go over?
A lot, yes. A lot. 4 or 5, yeah.
4 or 5, and then we also have the throwdown that we're going to get to tomorrow again.
Otherwise, I feel like we're just going to be rushing through everything if we try to do it all in one.
Yeah, so we're going to be splitting it again.
And like I said, I don't like doing episodes that are like
2 hours
long. 2 and 3 hours long. I mean, I know I like my podcast to be at least an hour, or at most an hour.
An hour, yeah.
I don't know. I just don't have time.
But yeah. So. But before we get into the matches, I think we should just very briefly go over this hot, hot topic.
Which one?
The one I think that everybody's talking about is, if you know what's going on, you know what's going on. But it basically boils down to the hands rule.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Being enforced. And I'm not going to go into who said what or who's being accused of what. If you know what's going on, you know what's going on.
And if you've made accusations, you know who you are.
Yeah. And we don't think anybody would cheat in the game.
No, not for a second.
And it's just, you know, I think the biggest point of discussion is, again, you have the right to be critical of gameplay.
Yeah, of course.
And things like that. But then going out and straight out accusing somebody of something, mm-hmm. It's like if you notice something, don't bring it up in a public forum and like accusing people. It's like, yeah, there's a time and a place for it, and I think, you know, on the Facebook group where you can interact with competitors, that's kind of not the place to do it.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, I mean, I'm sure if you're listening to the show, you're aware.
Yeah.
But like the whole thing is that, you know, people lately have been complaining about the hand rule not being enforced, where you have to keep your hands in plain view. Unless you're writing something on your board, you need to keep your hands in plain view because people want to make sure you're not Googling something on on your phone or whatever. And, you know, you see matches, you know, here and there where people don't have their hands inside and whatever. And there have definitely been recently, I can think of at least 3 players who have been named of people accusing them of cheating.
Yeah.
And I mean,
come on.
I feel like, yeah, I agree with these people only to the extent of I agree that it should be enforced
consistently. Yeah.
But not because I think, you know, so and so cheated. I think it needs to be enforced to keep these people
from
thinking that weird stuff is going down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when somebody is, you know, looking down,
it looks fishy.
It looks weird. It looks suspect. Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. I can agree with you on that. It looks weird.
Yeah.
Do I think that, I mean, I want to say a competitor's name so bad, but I'm not going to. But like, if you think for 1 second that one of these people that was accused is going to cheat, you are out of your effing mind.
Yeah.
Like,
it's insulting.
Insane. It's insulting. Incredibly insulting. So that's the only reason that I do agree that it should be enforced, because you want everything to be as transparent as possible.
Yeah, that was the word I was trying to bring up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You want things to be transparent. You don't want to give anybody even an inch to be like, but what about that? That look, that no, that person's cheating. You know, you don't want to give anybody the chance to even have room to make those accusations at all. So that's the only reason why I'm like,
I get it.
But a lot of stuff's going on and stuff like that is probably at the back of, you know, Christian and Mark's minds. Mm-hmm. You know,
and coming from a competitor standpoint, it's hard to keep your hands up the entire time because you're trying so hard to think of the answer, and you slip into habits. Mm-hmm. My habit is looking down, and like, and this is exactly why I thought of this setup. It's like, well, if I'm gonna do in this room, our camera's across the room.
Yeah, this is your exact setup, right?
This is my exact setup
and
that
you
I use.
You can see everything.
You can see, and that's exactly why I was like, I could go in tighter on me so you could see my face, but I want it to be a wide enough shot to where you can't even accuse me.
You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry about it. So like, and it's easy for me keep my hands up because the tables are here. So
I'm pretty sure. I mean, if that's what people are seeing, and then I have my hands on the table, you can see what I'm doing.
It was a little tighter. Weird. Yeah, it was a little tighter on me for the Star Wars tournament.
True.
But it's easy for me to have my hands up because I can put my elbows here. And I always went like this.
Yeah.
So you can see that I'm clearly not doing anything.
But, you know, people are using webcams in their laptops or what have you. I don't know what people are using. But, it should be enforced just so that people can't make these accusations.
An easy fix for the competitors, just push your camera back a little bit further just so they can see you from at least like torso up.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be accused of that. But it's hard for competitors to remember, hey, hands up. But I think that's it just boils down to like, let's try to enforce it more. And not just because we're accusing anybody.
No, not for a second.
It's just transparency for the fans to keep them from complaining about it.
Exactly. So. And I saw somebody make the suggestion, they should get a line judge to enforce things like this. People are busy. Yeah. Like, you don't just get to summon somebody and be like, a line judge. Surely this person's available every time I film a Schmodown. Like, you got to pay people. You got to compensate them for their time. Unless you find somebody who's just like, yeah, sure, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, and pulling back the curtain, there are other people behind the scenes that are present during these streams, but they're already worried about
they're doing stuff.
They're worried about other things.
Yeah.
They're moderating the chat. Make sure nobody's putting the answers in the chat. So they're busy too. To add another thing onto that is just so much. It's just too much to ask.
In a perfect world, there'd be a hand rule enforcer, you know, in the credits of the Schmodown. But I mean, people complain
about anything
and everything. And, you know, if somebody backstage is putting it into private chat, hey, Christian, make sure their hands are up.
Yeah.
And then Christian goes and reads it. It kind of distracts him. And then he's trying to read a question. He gets distracted. People are going to complain about the question he read because he didn't read it right.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
I think people are just bored.
People have a lot of time on their hands right now, you know, and I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah.
Because I have absolutely gotten passionate about stuff in the Schmodown, and I've actually probably done stuff that I have said other people shouldn't do because I'm human and everybody makes mistakes. But I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's
been a bit of a point of debate and discussion.
And again, Christian has to step in and be like, look, guys,
chill.
We're of it. Just chill.
Yeah,
we're dealing with the best we can.
Yeah,
we have to pivot in a certain situation. This is just something that came up during these things. So let's go ahead and get into the matches.
Let's do it.
I don't want to drone on and on about that point because
we could just say the same stuff in 100 different ways, which we probably already just did. So match number one, Matt the Kahuna. I thought he was Big Kahuna, but Matt the Kahuna Achity versus Mark the Android Andre. Go.
I was really looking forward to this.
Mr. Achity, of course, is representing the usual suspects, and Mr. Andreyko is representing the rock stars.
Two factions that absolutely need the points.
Yes, that is a fact.
Yeah.
Round one. Achity missed something about George of the Jungle because on that question, he asked for a JTE after the timer had run out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Classic Matt Achity. And then he missed a Kong Skull Island question, Annabelle creation question. Mm-hmm. Andreyko got a perfect round, not really to anybody's surprise.
Yeah.
And he got the bonus question. So by the end of round one,
flawless first round,
5-9 in favor of Mark Andreyko.
Yeah, and I think these problems continue to come up with Achity of the fact that, like, you know, he's been playing the game for what, 3 seasons, and it's these things. It's like you think he would, you know, understand the game a bit more.
You think,
but it's like, and I think another thing that people keep in mind is latency. Maybe he did get it in time. It's just the delay. It seemed his internet seemed to be a little laggy at times.
Yeah. No,
but
given his past studio matches,
I'm just playing devil's advocate. It's like maybe he did get it in time. It's just the latency issues sending video across the internet.
I respect that, but given his given his studio performances, I don't think.
Shut up, Andrew. You're an idiot.
I don't think that was the case. If history teaches us anything, I don't think lag played a role there.
I think just like further down into the match, it's another thing that crops up. It's like, oh, Achity, what?
Classic
Achity.
That's just quintessential Matt Achity. Round two, Andreyko goes. He gets spinner's choice. Ooh. He chooses 80s. The 1980s, just in case you weren't sure.
I like how they have to clarify that now.
It could have been some other century.
With every petty challenge, comes a new joke.
A new like schmodown meme.
Or a new thing that Christian and Mark have to do. It's like the 1980s. Or can you spell that for me, please? Yeah. Or
it's not like it's hard to keep up with these like silly things that come up, because when they happen, they're a big deal and it's like burned into your memory. Mm-hmm. So at least like we got that going for
us. It's like you never forget the ones you miss.
Yep.
You never forget the ones that people get heated about.
Yeah. So he goes. 1980s. Mm. He goes multiple choice one time, missed it. Mm. It got stolen. He had a 2-point miss, actually. Mm-hmm. And Matt did not steal it. And Matt asked for multiple choice. So that was funny. was that lag too? I don't know. And then
every time we say lag, sorry, tangent, but like, you know, we play with friends online. Oh my God. And every time we lose our match,
that was because you lagged us.
We have a lag.
You DDoSed us and we lagged.
Jesus, Spectrum, get your crap together. I'm lagging all over the place. Even though we have AT&T. I'm warming up. Sorry, tangent.
So then he goes to multiple choice another time, but he got that one right. Mm-hmm. Mad-achety. He gets directors. Mm. He goes to multiple choice thrice. He misses two. One gets stolen. Mm-hmm. One does not. And then he gets his third multiple choice. So by the end of round two, it's 9-13, still in favor of Mr. Android. Mm-hmm. Round three, do you think Mark has an Android or an Apple?
I think he has an Apple. Californians. Sorry, I don't mean to.
Come on, man.
I don't mean to like.
Really,
you know,
missed a branding opportunity there.
I don't know. I think
all these LA types and their Apples.
Right? I don't mean to. I don't know.
Am I right though? If you're in LA and you're listening to this, let me know what you have.
I mean, we went out to the West Coast for my cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
And like, they're like, wait, you have Androids? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, my cousin's like, yeah, we're just used to everybody out here have an Apple. So.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But I'm just a Floridian with my Android.
On a note of Andraco's nickname, I think that was just back in the day when. Christian was making up nicknames, and it's like it was all out.
Yeah, well, it would make sense for him to have one, is all I'm saying. Opportunity miss. Round three, 2 point for Achety. Mm. He gets dance, a ballerina movie. Dance. A ballerina movie with Julia Stiles and Sean Patrick Thomas. Save the Last Dance. He missed it.
Yeah.
Oof. So it stays with him for his 3-pointer. Crime films, 1996 film with Brad Pitt and Kevin Bacon, friends in a boys' center later put on trial for some kind of a murder. He missed it.
Oof, another miss.
Oof, 5-pointer for Ashley.
Am I right?
Yeah, you right. Brad Pitt.
Oof.
Who plays the youngest child, Samuel, in Legends of the Fall?
Ooh.
Here he got it.
Yeah.
So he really picked it up here in the 5-pointer. And then it bounces back to
Andrico.
2-pointer. He gets Drew Barrymore, who plays her co-lead in Fever Pitch. He got it. So the match ends up 14-15 in favor of Mark Andrico and the Rockstars.
Much needed points to the Rockstars, because up until this point, the only two competitors on the Rockstar that have been delivering is Alex Damon and one match from Stacey Howard. So this is, again, teams like this at the bottom need to get the ball rolling, and a win like this just helps them along.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah, and I think we have yet to see Snyder go, and who else is on the Rockstars? Because we already saw Bavida, right?
Yes.
You
mean in the singles tournament?
Yeah, in singles tournament. He already got knocked out.
He did. That is a fact.
So he got knocked out, and Draco won his match. We're waiting for Snyder, and who else on the Rockstars?
David Del Rio.
Del Rio.
Which we are going to talk. Oh, no. We haven't seen that one yet, right?
We're going to get to it.
Wait. No, yeah. We did. That's in this episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind. We'll that match did happen.
Yeah. So.
And then who else on the Rockstars? We got.
Oh, Snyder.
Snyder,
Bavida.
Bavida. Okay. Bavida. We hit all the bases. Got it.
Yeah. So. I mean, this is one of the heavy hitters, but I was surprised by this one. This didn't go exactly as I thought it was going to go, because these are two very knowledgeable competitors, and they had a very underwhelming performances, because, you know, Andrico had the first perfect, flawless first round, but then he stumbles a bit in the second round. Ashley, not a great first round, stumbles a bit in the second round, and then just answers one correct answer in the third.
Luckily, it was the five, but still, it was only one.
It's only one. But so I was like surprised by this one because I would have thought that the gameplay would have been what cost Ashity, but it was just misses.
Yeah.
And not knowing the questions. And I think for both of these competitors, is it Ring Rust? Because how long has it been since we saw Ashity? It's been since
when
last
he challenged
season.
Himself, right?
Yeah, it was last season.
Yeah.
Or no, it was this season, sorry. No?
No.
Last season.
I think it was last season.
Yeah, last
season. Wasn't it the one against the family?
Yes, yes, sorry. Well,
yeah.
Time. Thanks, Corona. I have no concept of time anymore.
Thanks, Corona. What day is it?
But yeah, so the last time we saw him was last season. Last time we saw in Draco was against Who's the Boss earlier in the season. So it's been a while since we've seen both of them.
Yeah.
Longer for Ashley, so I was wondering, is maybe Ring Rust was just shaking off the cobwebs for both of them, and it's just unfortunate that for Ashley it was in a tournament setting.
Yeah.
So we'll see how Andreco does in the next round, who he faces next. Bring up the graphic, please.
Mark Andreco next will face Brendan Meyer.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, that's
so
going to be a good one,
I think he needs to bring in that one, because, again, Shazam is on fire. Brendan Meyer is picking up steam, and if Andreco doesn't come to deliver in that match, and if he has another performance like this one,
it's gonna be signed, sealed, delivered for the Mercs.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know what I mean?
So I mean, not the best of matches, but it does get the ball rolling for the Rockstars. So, and for Ashity, it's like
It's just Matt.
Again, it wasn't the gameplay.
He's incredibly knowledgeable.
It's just
he got hit in some of his blind spots, which happens sometimes.
Maybe
so.
Maybe he was just so relaxed that going into this match that he's like, oh wow, I didn't wasn't prepared as much as he should have been.
Yeah.
In this setting, because and we'll get to this. I'm gonna bring up something later about digital matches versus studio matches and live matches. We'll get to that in a bit, but yeah. So.
I love the irony of how I can watch a match like this with Mark Andreco and Matt Ashity, two people who are incredibly knowledgeable, and be like, what a poor performance. Ugh. And yet I play along, I get like one question right. Like, if you step back and think about the sheer volume of movies that are possibly within the question pool, it is staggering.
Yeah.
And it's the irony is not lost on me that it's like, wow, what a poor first round.
Well, you gotta look at these competitors and
look at their skill sets.
Look at their skill
and
sets.
Their past performances.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I expected a little bit more.
Yeah.
But again, it's them coming back from a long hiatus, and maybe they're just focusing on other things during quarantine and stuff. So not everybody has time to study 24/7.
No,
like
that's what I'm saying. So. And the fact that they know the stuff that they need, it's beyond me. I get 1 point in the first round a lot. So. They were great performances, as far as I'm concerned. Next match. We have Tom versus Tim the Tank Franco. Tom is, of course, the Den. Tim the Tank is for the Mercs.
Ooh.
So, and a lot of people, you know, had some stuff to say. You know, everybody's really excited about the Tom character. Everybody, I use that term loosely. I'm sure there's some people that aren't a fan, whatever. There's always somebody. But I think most people are really into the Tom character. Speaking of the hands rule, I did see some people be like, oh my God, Tom didn't have it. One time he put his hands over the camera. How do you know he wasn't?
He's committed to his character.
Round one.
Speaking of the character, like, come on. Like, how do you not like Tom in this? Like, he's gotten to a spot where it's like so enjoyable to watch him do it.
And it was a new Tom because he was like forced to engage and interact with the camera.
Yeah.
He usually... In a studio or a team setting, I feel like it's so much easier to like just fall back into his character and just fade back into his character, you know. But I feel like he was forced to engage and forced to verbalize more. So that was an interesting new
aspect. Even though there were just one word answers, like yes.
Yeah, but in a weird way, right? In a weird way, it was almost like he had to engage more.
Yeah.
But it was. I'm still down for it. Tom is awesome.
Tom,
I love him.
Yeah, I remember when he first debuted. I'm like, what is this character?
Yeah,
doing?
I wasn't him and Video Drew. I was not quite on the bus.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I got a lifelong bus pass.
Yeah.
What? I wasn't on the bus at first. I think I said that.
But like,
did
him,
I just say that in my head?
Maybe.
Did I say it all out?
But his character with Kate oddly works really well. Yeah. And, like, him calling her mom and him treating like the little clicker, like she's training him. It's like, wow, it worked. And there's one time where was it this match where Kate kind of breaks a bit and it makes her laugh?
Yes, we'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that. Yes,
jumping ahead.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So round one, they both missed a question that had to do with Jack Nicholson. And then they both missed a question that had to do with Bumblebee and the Transformers.
Oh, I got that one right.
Yeah, you did. I remember that. By the end of round one, it's 6-6.
Hmm.
Round two, Tom goes first. He spins away from James Bond. Mm-hmm. He gets Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I think he spun away from James Bond because Franco is good at James Bond.
Cue everybody asking for a Mike Kalinowski, Tim the Tank Franco, James Bond exhibition match.
I think they did.
Probably.
I think it's coming. I think it's on the schedule.
Oh. So. Well, he had a 2-point miss, but luckily for him, there was no steal.
Mm-hmm.
Tim goes. He spins historical epics and dramas. Ugh.
Oh.
And he spins again, of course. He spins again, and he gets spinner's choice. And what does he pick? Oof. Oh, I don't know. James Bond. He goes to multiple choice. James Bond. Shaken, not stirred. Am I right? Multiple choice. He gets it right. Does he have any other kind of catchphrase?
Oh, James Bond? Yeah. Bond. James Bond.
Yeah, that's one.
There are others.
Hey, ladies. Bond. Wow. So the end of round two. It was 12.
Wait, so we go over. Sorry, I completely blanked on his second round. How did he do?
Oh, he did really well. He multiple choice once, but he got it right.
Yeah, so he perfect second round.
Yeah. 12-13 at the end of round two in favor of Mr. Tim Franco, not Tom. Round three, Tom, 2-pointer. Tom gets rom-coms.
Mm-hmm.
Who plays Juliet in Romeo and Juliet? He got it.
Mm-hmm.
Bounces over to Tim. Oscar movies. Mm-hmm. Who was the only person to win an Academy Award for acting in Boyhood? Missed Oof. It. Stays with Tim. 3-pointer. Dramas. 2008 film where Meryl Streep and Amy Adams play nuns. He got it. 3-pointer bounces to Tom. Tom gets Tom Hanks. Which film got Tom his first nom for best actor?
See what you did there?
You like that?
I like that.
He got it right. Bounces back to Tim for his 5-pointer. 2000s. Who plays Frank Levin in The Lincoln Lawyer? And he missed it. So 16-17 in favor of Tom.
Hmm.
In the post-match interview, they asked Tom how he feels about Jader because that's going to be his next opponent. And Christian's saying that, you know, how do you feel about Jader? He's the hurricane. And Tom's like, an actual hurricane? Some might say, sure. And he's like, how are you going to get it in a room?
This is the one that broke Kate.
Just thinking about it, I can't. The delivery
he's
on
so
it.
Good.
I mean, it sounds so stupid.
Yeah,
If you don't like his character or if you didn't watch the match, you're probably like, wow, these idiots.
Yeah.
But, oh man, that just, it hit me right in my tickle bone. It was so funny.
It's such a, you had to be there, you had to watch it there moment. You go back and watch the match and just go back and watch this moment.
Actual hurricane?
This has to be on the Clips channel because this is hilarious.
It was fun.
And this was a really good match because it's like, it was a back and forth, you know?
Yeah.
And I believe Franco, the last time we saw him was in the team with Stacey Howard last season.
Oh, right.
When he was part of Corruption.
Right.
And I remember he was on fire at one point. And just I think they ran into, who did they lose to last season? I can't remember.
Do not remember. What day is it?
Man.
I don't even know that.
Man, but I was really looking, because I wanted to see Tom, his return to the ring. And he didn't do, he didn't perform as well as he did in his last couple of matches, going like perfect in the first round and like only missing one question here and there. Yeah. He missed several questions, but
you know. And what drives me nuts about that is that everyone's like, well, see, Tom's so overrated. And it's like, chill. It was like, one match.
Yeah.
Everybody's had a bad match.
And for all we know, they're stepping up the questions for this tournament.
Yeah.
Just because the competition is so tight. Tom pulls it out. He goes up against
Jader, which is a lot of fun because now Jader versus Tom will mean manager wise, we're getting Ken versus Grace.
Ooh,
so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
That's going to be very entertaining to watch. Mm-hmm. I love Ken and I love Grace. So That's going to be, mwah, you know,
so good.
Next match.
Next match, please.
Ooh. Mike Kalinowski versus Perry.
Oh, yes.
Nemiroff. We got Mike. The killer.
The killer. We said Kalinowski. It wrong. We said it wrong last episode.
I think every time I do it wrong. Versus scary Perry Nemiroff.
Perry Nemiroff makes her return to the singles division.
Yes. Mr. Kalinowski, of course, of corruption. Miss Nemiroff, of course, of the Mercs. Round one.
Yeah.
Perry missed the very first question, and that's always shaky when that happens.
She missed the first two, doesn't she?
She missed, I don't know exactly which question sequentially, but she missed the first question, something about gremlins, something about Blazing Saddles, which was like, whoa, just it really hurt me. And then something about the Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, yeah.
Mike missed a question about the movie Us, because it was talking about like doppelgangers, or I forget what it's called.
Tethered.
The Tethered. That's what it was. I almost said Replicants, but that's really like movie. Blade or something. Is that what that is? Replicants? What's Replicants?
Yeah, I think you're thinking Blade.
Did I do it right?
Yes.
All right. Tethered was Us, though. Mm-hmm. At the end of round one, 4-7 in favor of Mike. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like
a little rough. No. A little bit rougher for Perry in this first round. Yeah. I was interested to see how Perry would do in this match.
And it has been, talk about ring rust. I think they said her last singles match was what, 2017?
Yes. Yeah,
so not counting exhibitions, singles.
Yeah, because like she competed in the Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Exhibition against who was Cody Hall and the Barbarian. And I remember her doing really well.
And she had an Iron Man against Cody at one point.
Yeah, that was last season.
But as far as singles is concerned,
yeah, like
it's been a minute.
Regulation play, it's been, and it's different. It's a different vibe, it's a different atmosphere. And like, I'll get to that. Let's go ahead and
round two. Mike goes first. He gets Pixar at first, spins away, and gets new releases.
It's a strength of Perry's.
He goes to multiple choice three times, gets two of them. Missed one, Perry stole it. Mm-hmm. Goes to Miss Perry. She spins away from monster movies, which I was kind of like, ooh, because I know she likes scary stuff, but maybe it's, I don't know. Spins away and gets
monster movies. It's so anyways.
It was Schmodown fate that she got. Yeah. Goes to multiple choice twice, got them both. So by the end of round two, 11-11.
Tied up.
Mm-hmm. Round three. 2 point for Perry. Movie release date. Movie release date for Schindler's List. She got it.
Yeah.
2 point to Mike. Judd Apatow, who co-stars with Katherine Heigl in Knocked Up. Got it. Mm-hmm. Back to Miss Perry, 1990s. Ooh, a very special question for me.
No, yeah, that's right.
Home Alone 2, the name Mauve and Harry go Mauve. With after getting out of prison. Mauve.
What are you doing, Mauve?
Why are you dressed like a chicken? Home Alone and Home Alone 2 are one of the cornerstones of the Christmas holiday in my family. My mom watches it about, 87 times each every year.
Yeah. Well, we watch Home Alone every year for Christmas. It's a tradition in the DiMolata household.
It is a tradition.
In this DiMolata household, I should say.
Yeah, but my God. So yeah, she got it. The Sticky Bandits.
It's the Sticky Bandits. There's a whole scene where he has tape on his hand and he's going through crowds.
So good.
Stealing coins. So
good. Love those movies. Home Alone 1 and 2. Anything after that, get out of my face. 3 point for Mike. Disney.
Ralph
breaks the internet. Which MCU character is seen taking questions from a line of fans? I believe it was Groot and or Baby Groot.
Yeah.
He missed it. He said Iron Man. Stays with Mike for his 5-pointer. Meryl Streep. The Post was not the first time she directed, was directed by Spielberg. What film was it where she played Blue Mecha or something like that?
And it was AI.
I forget what he said.
He said Ready Player One.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And he missed it. So in a crazy turn of events.
Crazy upset.
13-16, Perry Nemiroff takes it.
This has to be nominated for upset.
Absolutely has to be nominated at least. If not win,
this is a huge blow.
No slight to Perry. Not to say she's not good, but when I saw Nemiroff Kalinowski, I was like,
Come on.
Kalinowski's gonna take this one, right?
Yeah.
But you know, you don't know anymore in this sport.
This match proves anything can happen in the Schmodown. Nothing's guaranteed. It's like, this person's they're going to wipe them out. It's like, we've seen crazy stuff happen in the Schmodown. This is an absolute example of that.
You see Mike get Disney and Meryl Streep for his 3 and 5 points.
Yeah, and like I would argue that we'll probably see another match like this where like, oh yeah, this person should absolutely win. It's like, no, yeah, don't count that person up because anything can happen in this
game.
Not
no mo.
And like,
not no mo.
And I've said it before, there's differences between, you know, knowing movies, talking about movies all the time, and knowing, being ready for trivia. And we'll get to that in the next, in tomorrow's episode. I'm going to talk more about this, but like, there's been examples of people like, oh yeah, I can swing this in this league. And
yeah,
nope. And then Perry's like struck me as somebody that, you know, she talks about movies all the time. She works for Collider and interviews people all the time. But it's like, but her trivia knowledge isn't like up there with people. But then this happens, like, well, maybe I'm just wrong.
Yeah.
So this has to be nominated for upset. Like people
if this is not nominated for upset of the year, something's gone wrong.
There's a couple matches here and there. It's like, is it an upset? Because based off this person's track record and they're on a hot streak, whatever, whatever, whatever. This one is like, no, we all saw Kalinowski just
running through
His side. It's like, now this is a huge, huge bracket buster.
Oh my god!
If you submitted your brackets for, you know, whatever, and you didn't have Perry on this, I argue everybody's like, yep, Kalinowski. It's like,
oh, without even thinking about it, probably.
Yeah, like pretty much everybody's brackets have to be busted at this point because this shakes up that side of the bracket so hard.
Oh, huge! I feel like with the elimination of Paul Preston and Mike Kalinowski, side of the bracket is like, what's happening?
Yeah, like it's anybody's game now on that side now.
Absolutely.
But I think we
got Ethan Irwin running around. Yeah, but still, you know, you never know.
Still got Ethan Irwin. Mark Riley's on that side as well. So
you never know. You got Aoyama. You got Snyder running around. Oh, yeah. Around. So
it's we're not going to get like Kalinowski versus Riley or who else?
Kalinowski, Aoyama, or, you know, it's just, it's crazy because I was like, watch this freaking singles tournament be, you know, a corruption of finals again. Chance versus Kalinowski or something.
Yeah.
And then
that's out of the cards now.
Perry just rides in on a raptor from Jurassic Park and is like, nope.
Good one. I like that.
Thank you. The Indoraptor.
Oh, I hate that movie.
It was fun. Yeah. It was weird. It was fun. You know, it was all right. I mean, it was the only one of the new age Jurassic Park I've seen. I've never seen, like, what's his name? Chris Pratt, like,
oh, you didn't see
Caesar Milaning a bunch of raptors.
I like that one better than Fallen Kingdom. Oh god.
Fallen Kingdom was an Indoraptor?
Yeah.
I mean, I had fun. I had fun. It was all right. I think maybe it has a special place in my heart because our dog's name is Indy. Shout out to Mike Kalinowski and Shannon Barney, whose dog is also named Indy. Great minds, you know what I'm saying? But one of the stupid names I call our dog, Indy, I call her Indo for some stupid reason because I'm an idiot. And so when they were like, ooh, we call this one the Indoraptor, I was like, oh. And then I came home and played with the dog, and she got all crazy, running around the house with her little dog zoomies. And I'm like, look, we got a little Indoraptor. So maybe
get a laser pointer.
I hate when people use laser pointers with their animals. But no, I don't know. That maybe that's why it has a special place.
Yeah.
It's not a special place. Maybe that's why I kind of enjoyed it. Anyways, next match.
Dumb villains. Dumb. Just a bunch of dumb.
That movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have probably just stopped after the first one. Am I right?
There's going to be another one, so.
Which was the one when whoever it was woke up when a raptor was like, Ellen.
The third one.
Didn't see that one. I've only seen that clip, and I think that's hilarious. Oh, was it bad?
I mean, it's not as terrible as whatever. Next match, please.
Next match. And I believe
there's only one good, great Jurassic Park movie.
The first one. Okay, good. Oh, yeah. Jello on a spoon. Yeah. Raptor nails just clicking on the kitchen floor. Next match. And I believe, according to my notes, is the last one before the throwdown. Mm. So we have Diamond David Del Rio versus Chance the Cobra Ellison. David Del Rio is representing the rock stars. Chance is, of course, with corruption. And I don't know if you said it before, but I noticed that somebody mentioned one time that, man, there's a really big missed opportunity that we didn't spell Chance the Cobra with a K.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And now it bothers me every time I see it. That's why isn't Cobra spelled with a K?
Because he came in with corruption. He's been corruption his entire career.
Yeah. Corruption spelled with a K. Why didn't we spell Cobra with a K? Where? What? Who? What? All right. So let's move on. Round one.
Missed opportunities, Harloff. Come on.
Man. I mean, I don't know. Round one. David missed the first question about John Wick, the Baba Yaga. John Wick. Chance, on the other hand, gets a perfect round and then gets the bonus. So, 7-9 in favor of Chance at the end of round one. Round two, Chance decides to go first. He spins, oh, right. This was an interesting moment. He spins right in the middle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Of right in between two slices, DiCaprio and Inner Geekdom and DiCaprio.
And Inner Geekdom's on the right side of the needle. And they're like, oh, yeah, so.
So you get the one that's on the right. And I'm like, wait. I thought that when this happened in Star Wars, when it first happened in Star Wars, they let them pick. And then they were like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that. And then I thought, I thought they came to the conclusion the software tells you, well, even though it appears this is the one it actually landed on. Unless, again, I'm losing my mind and I imagine that. I thought that that's the way that they were going to settle it if it ever happened again. Yeah. And it just kind of seems that all of a sudden it was like, well, we're going to pick the one that's on the right. And Chance Ellison got Inner Geekdom and he just won the Inner Geekdom tournament. So yeah, we're going to give him Inner Geekdom.
But for all we know, the computer tells you what's on the right side. So it's like,
that's a very good point.
So maybe the software tells you, it's like, oh, it's this one. And it always tells you it's the one on the right.
Are you with the Shmoominati trying to provide a...
If I was part of the Shmoominati, I wouldn't get 12th Moody out and... 8d8.
That's also a good point. Sore spot. Let's move on. So Chance spins between DiCaprio and Inner Geekdom. Inner Geekdom's on the right. And
he doesn't do great in this round though either.
He did well.
He did well, but it doesn't like we were expecting him to bowl through. Just won the Inner Geekdom tournament.
Yeah.
We expect him okay, perfect round.
Run through it.
He struggles a bit.
He went to multiple choice twice. Mm-hmm. He got one. Missed another, and that one did get stolen by David. David goes next. He spins dramas. Mm-hmm. He multiple choiced it once, missed it, but there was no steal.
That was a big miss on his part, but also a missed opportunity for Chance.
Oh, yeah, because by the end of round two, 14-14. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I was like,
oh, no.
This is shaping up a lot like the Mike Perry match, where he was ahead in the first round. Mm-hmm. Then at the end of the second round, they come out tied. And I was like, oh my God, are we going to get another upset?
Yeah, and this has shades of last couple of tournaments for Chance because he's never gotten past the first round
in singles
tournament. So it's like, oh no, is this going to happen again for Chance? Is just the Shmoominati just going to have different plans for him?
Yeah.
So it was weird, but David is doing really well because I forgot how he did in his first match.
Same.
In his last season. And it's like, oh, wow. I forgot that he's actually pretty good.
He did really well. I mean, the match is not over yet. Yeah. But, he's doing really well.
Yeah.
So round three, 2 point for David. He gets Thriller, who stars as Hannah Heller in Hannah. He gets it right. Chance, 2-pointer. Comedies. In what spoof film will you find someone named Yogurt who teaches the power of the Schwartz? Spaceballs. Never seen it.
Oh, come on. We ain't found...
He got it right.
I love that movie.
I'm sure it's okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Same code on my briefcase.
Lost.
Ooh, come on, people. You gotta be with. Put it in the comment section, people. Give me your Spaceballs jokes.
No thanks. I'll watch the real Star Wars.
I mean, come on.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Spaceballs.
But still, Spaceballs is hilarious.
It's all right, I'm sure.
Spaceballs is hilarious.
3 point for David. He gets Tom Cruise. What film is the only one where he collaborated with Francis Ford Coppola? He got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to Chance for his 3-pointer. He gets Animated. What 2017 film depicts teen warriors with the voice talents of Jackie Chan?
He got it really
Dave
quick.
Franco. Oh, yeah. He got it quick enough that I had to go back and be like, Chance, I didn't hear the question, dude.
Yeah.
I get it. You go to trivia. 5-pointer for David.
Calm down.
Calm down, okay? David's 5-pointer. He gets Disney. Who voices Dr. Calico in Bolt? I feel like that was whoa. Oh,
and we just watched Bolt.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention. He missed it. 5-pointer to Chance. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, okay, I guess this is wrapped up, huh, ladies? But then they're like, oh, musicals. And I'm like, oh.
No.
Okay.
Shmoominati got different ideas for you.
Shmoominati again. So What 1950s film contains songs like Some Enchanted Evening, Younger Than Springtime, and I'm Gonna Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair? I've
never heard of these songs.
I've never heard of the songs. I've never heard of the movie.
Yeah.
Or the Broadway play or whatever it is. So, much to nobody's surprise, Shans missed it because how would you know that? So, it was 19 to 19 at the end of that. So now we go to sudden death. All right. Question number one was a question about Kingdom of Heaven. And they both got it right. Mm-hmm. Question number two was something about a movie called Suburban Commando.
Oh, yeah. This is the Hogan question, right?
Oh, Hogan. And I think Del Rio said Super Nanny, Super Nanny or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, it was Suburban Commando. Mm-hmm. And David missed it. And Chance got it. So I believe that puts us at 20 to 21 in favor of Chance the Cobra Ellison.
Keeps it rolling. I'm telling you, man. Chance is going to be player of the year. If he continues this streak.
He's driving a hard bargain.
I mean, he's becoming dominant in all three of the divisions he's competing in. It's not like he competed in one. It's like, I'm going to give this one a try. It's like, no. He won the Intergeekdom tournament. He is the youngest two-time team's champion we've ever seen. Beat Founding Fathers for that. And that's a ridiculous rivalry that I want to continue to see.
Me too.
And now he's made it. Again, it's only the first round, but he can go far in this. And if he continues to run it, even if he doesn't win this tournament and he ends up, you know, not ending the season without any of the belts, I still say, like, come on, player of the year candidate, at least a nomination.
Oh, he has to be a candidate at least.
Because he is on fire right now. Sure, he stumbled a bit in this match.
Who doesn't? From time to time.
But the heart of a champion, the heart of a elite players don't get shaken in those moments. They're like, you know what, whatever, I'm just going to blow past this mediocre round that I had and just continue to deliver. And it took it to sudden death, and he didn't blink.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people could have let that get in their head and be like, exactly. Oh, God, how did I miss that five-pointer?
But yeah, and just crumbled in that moment. It's like, no, I'm going to stay on top of my game. I know I can and pull this out. And he got the win. It's crazy. And corruption, again, is just
doing what they do.
They're in first place right now, I believe.
Yeah. Actually, on that note, mm-hmm. I think I do have the current standings. Mm. I believe that what's on the website is
up to date.
Accurate and up to date. Mm.
Oh, as a, yeah, because we're not going to be going over the
yeah. I'm trying to think if we're looking at the top three,
it wouldn't matter because
We're looking at the top three factions, throwdown doesn't really it does because Ben's on the Finstock Exchange.
Yeah.
Well, Corruption's in the lead, and they weren't in the throwdown, so Corruption has 38 points.
Swag. Yeah.
And Swag wasn't in the throwdown, so they're in second, and they have 35. So 38 with Corruption is first place, 35 with Swag is second place, and Finstock Exchange, we'll talk about that next show.
Let's look at the bottom half of the bracket as well, see where everybody else is at.
So, I mean,
it's hard to say.
Because the throwdown involves the usual suspects.
Yeah.
It involves the rock stars.
We can go ahead and talk about it because all these matches are able to be viewed by the public.
True.
So we're not really spoiling anybody for anything if you're not like a patron or anything. So let's go ahead and go over the standings. All right,
well, check it. If you're still hanging out with us and you have not somehow watched the throwdown where you see Bateman Guy for a number one contender match and Jericho Kevin Smith, if you have not watched that yet and you are also very intimately familiar with the standings, maybe you want to switch off and mute for a second.
Yeah.
That's your warning. 3-2-1. No. Corruption's in first place with 38. Swag's in second place with 35. Finstock Exchange is in third with 32. Mm-hmm. So that's the top three. I don't know if you want the whole list, but if we're doing top three, the bottom three, you know, if we're going to mirror it, you got Rockstars in seventh. They got 15. Next down is Droogs with 12. And then you got the usual suspects in last place with what looks like 9.
Oof, usual suspects aren't looking good.
Usual suspects are having a...
And after the throwdown, it's like... Year.
Wait, this says last update was Chance Ellison versus David Del Rio.
Okay, so this is...
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay, so we didn't spoil anything.
We didn't spoil
Never mind. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Unmute us, please. So, never mind. I guess this doesn't factor in the throwdown yet. I'm...
Yeah, so... Yeah, as of this point, as to where this episode is.
It seems pretty accurate. Good job, guys.
But, like, it's... Yeah, like, the usual suspects are, like, they need something.
It's been a rough go.
It's been a rough
go.
Because who they have left in the tournament? Because the usual suspects... We have no idea what team they're putting in the tournament either. Just because you were supposed to have the family... But that's gone. That's done with. That's over with.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard people say, oh, put Andrew Guy with Janine. Put Ethan back with Janine and do Time Machine again.
At this point, like, I don't know. Like, why isn't Janine in the tournament?
Same. Yeah, I was wondering, like, that too.
What's going on with that?
Usual suspects is Sabina Graves. Of course, she did fall short to Lon Harris. Mm-hmm. Mark Andrako and Matt Ashley was usual suspects. Matt Ashley, we just talked about losing to Mark Andrako. Mm-hmm. And then you got Ethan Irwin.
Yeah, that's going to be
so I have a feeling he's going to be around for a little while.
Yeah.
And then you've got Robert Montano of Late to the Party. He's going to be facing Jeff Snyder next week.
Yeah. And because I'm almost banking on Irwin just to run the table and get them the points they need.
Yeah.
But it's rough for the suspects right now, because it's like, what do you have left? You really don't have a team to bank on right now, unless you put Time Machine back together, which they were pretty good.
Or if you put Guy and Janine. That's true. We'll talk about this more tomorrow.
But, like,
that's a good point.
Well, I mean, and the dungeon, I don't know where they were. The dungeon wasn't looking too good either. So
the dungeon's jumped up.
Have they? I think.
The dungeon is now in. The dungeon is in sixth place with 17 points. I mean, where they came from, they're doing much better than I think anybody thought they would.
Because they have, what's his name? Who beat Sabrina?
Lon. No, that's Swag.
No.
Sabrina. Oh, Sabrina, not Sabina.
Not Sabina.
Vinny Mancuso.
Mancuso looks good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looks good.
He looks very good. So, but he has to go against Irwin.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine if Irwin doesn't beat Mancuso and Mancuso upsets Irwin?
That'd be another
suspects.
Candidate.
Suspects are in a terrible position if that happens. So
that would be upsetting.
That's good. Yeah. So let's go over next week's matches and just talk briefly about those.
Look at me being prepared. I've already got it. You don't have to stick around for me to Google anything.
Fill dead air.
Yeah. So here we go. August 31st, which is Monday, probably maybe the day you're listening to this.
So this week's
This week's matches.
We keep saying next week.
Next week, sorry.
We film during the weekend, guys. Sorry.
Time.
What is time?
It's a social construct. So Monday, August 31st, or maybe today, we are going to get Liz Shannon Miller versus Rachel the Switchblade Silvestrini.
This one is interesting because Rachel is beginning a lot of flack for being put in the tournament. Like, why do you put Rachel in over Ben Goddard? And it's like, look. We don't know. Did we not just see Perry Nemiroff upset Mike Kalinowski?
Exactly.
Anything can happen. And it's been a long time since we saw Liz Shannon Miller compete.
Exactly.
And she hasn't competed in this digital format. There's another thing that I wanted to talk about between digital live and studio matches. It's different.
I feel like that's a good point to bring up when we talk about Andrew Guy and Ben Bateman.
Yes. So we'll put a pin in it.
Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in it, and we'll talk about it.
And we're gonna build to it.
Save it.
Build to it. So yeah, that's Liz Shannon Miller. She's of Swag, and then Rachel the Switchblade is of the Den. Yeah,
it would be great for us if Rachel can come to play, because
take out a Swag competitor.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty
and
cool.
a really a heavy hitter.
That'd be
for
pretty
swag.
Cool.
Yeah,
and then Tuesday the 1st, September 1st, because it's already September. Somehow, we're getting Jeff Snyder of The Rock Stars versus Robert Montano. Mm. Who did I say he was with? Robert Montano.
He's a suspect.
Is a suspect.
And
that is correct.
He's the Late to the Party guy, right?
And yeah, he's the Late to the Party guy. And might I just say, the other day we were watching some Schmodown on YouTube. It was probably one of the premieres. Mm. It was probably one of the last week's matches that we were just talking about. And then my YouTube was like, oh, I'm still an autoplay idiot. So it just happened to play another Schmodown match. And randomly, it just started playing Late to the Party versus
The Action
Game. Team Action. Yeah. I almost said Action Army.
Yeah.
It was Late to the Party versus Team Action. And I was like, all right, I'm never going to turn down a Team Action. So
I miss Team Action. And I miss swearing in the Schmodown. I get it, but I miss swearing in the Schmodown.
I miss it very dearly.
Because how are you going to handcuff Andrew Guy? He's
so good.
You
gotta let him fly. You don't clip those wings. You let him soar like a beautiful bird.
That entrance was hilarious. We're reacting.
Oh my God. Team Action has had some pretty sick, like when they did the Top Gun entrance, when they're in those like jumpsuits and they're that one, when they brought out their moms, when they were like in their little blazers and their sweater vests. Team Action.
Oh man, I miss them.
Maybe one day we'll see them reunited. Wouldn't that be quite a storyline? Winky winky Shmominati. Mm-hmm. So that's, well, okay, well, back to Late to the Party. So we got
no, but you were going to the point, like,
oh yeah, 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 my point was that we watched the Team Action Late to the Party match, and I watched the whole thing because I didn't remember. I couldn't even tell you who won that match.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it and being like, wow, Late to the Party did a good job.
Yeah.
Like, they came this close to beating Team Action.
Yeah,
and it was their debut. Mm-hmm. And Team Action was making fun of them the whole time. Like, oh, you just sit on your couch. I'm a reactor. You know, it's so much different when you're on the stage and in the studio under the lights. And they took them to the limit.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a really good job. And I remember Robert was actually shooting some barbs back at them and had some of his own trash talking of his own. So I'm not making many more predictions for this year because it seems that
whoever you pick,
it seems that whenever I pick somebody,
it's the kiss of death.
It's the kiss of death. So I almost don't even want to say what I was about to say.
Yeah. But these are two teams that need these points.
Yeah.
Especially for the suspects.
Rock stars and suspects.
And like,
especially for the rock stars too.
Yeah. And I mean, if one of your top hitters doesn't deliver, it's a lot like
Jeff Snyder.
If it has shades of the Kalinowski match.
Yeah.
If Snyder doesn't come to deliver, then it's like, biggest hitters is out of the tournament now. And then you have to wait for the team's turn for him to come back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to this because, God, the upsets this season is just like...
You know what? I'm going to say what I was going to say because it doesn't matter. So, Robert Montano, I was telling Andrew, I think that there's a potential that if Robert Montano comes to play and he brings a mind game with him...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I almost get like early Bibbiani-ish vibes from Robert Montano, at least in that last Team Action match, in the sense that I feel like Robert Montano, if he uses the right
needling little jabs,
he maybe might be able to get under Jeff's skin. He might be able to annoy Jeff enough to maybe just give him that one push, you know, and get him off track.
Yeah, because
it'll be interesting to see.
It is because Snyder is a little spotty sometimes. And he's shown that if you can get under his skin, that affects his gameplay.
Yeah,
and
we've seen it happen.
Bringing this up again, like his little inner geekdom rant. Pretty much gave you the blueprint on how to beat him. It's like he's not gonna watch inner geekdom movies. Put inner geekdom on the wheel.
Yeah,
and like put and hope he gets categories that you know he's not going to study up on.
Hope he spins inner geekdom or opponent's choice.
Poke and prod him a little bit, and it's going to be harder to calm him down in this digital space because Rossi's not there to pat his back and calm him down.
And because how often can saying sexy numbers really bring somebody to a
victory? I am getting a little not annoyed. It's just like,
it's like, all right,
come on, Rossi. I know you got more than that. You're being a little bit one note right here. It's like, let me save you like 20 seconds. Oh, sexy numbers.
Oh, terrible numbers.
There you go.
Move on. How about we use our 60 seconds in another way?
Yeah, just saved you 20 seconds.
Part of me wonders how much of it is her
just trying to
almost
annoy
sticking
you.
It to the fans.
Because
I remember seeing it in the last Rockstars match. Mm-hmm. I did have live chat up because every so often I look at it because I guess I just like to hurt myself. So I don't know.
I like the pain.
I don't know what, I don't
Give
know
me
why.
The pain.
I don't know. So I did see a lot of people in chat like, here she goes again. Sexy numbers. Wow. Roxy, get a different shtick, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then part of me, because somebody else said something that made me wonder. Somebody goes, guys, if you keep saying it, she's just going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Almost to spite you and to annoy you. So I wonder how much of it is her just beating a dead horse because she thinks it's a good gig, and how much of it is her just knowing that a lot of the fans are over it and she's like, well, I'm gonna keep doing it because I know it annoys you.
I'm just saying, I wonder. I'm just saying, I know Roxy has more to her trash talk, so more, like, let's see it.
Yeah, it seems like it's a lot of sexy numbers, trash numbers, and oh, you're trash even if you win.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I'm so glad that we lost it.
I've never been happier to lose.
Yes, yeah, like, I know you're more competitive than this. I know. I know you have more to offer.
There's more shades to Roxy than this.
Yeah, I just don't believe that. She's like, oh, let's just do that. Wow.
Next match that we're getting next week, September 2nd. Which is a what? Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
We're getting, Craig Barbarian versus Whitney Seibold.
That's
going to be a good one.
God, this is another heavy hitting first round.
And Seibold, I think, is somebody who people are quick to underestimate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's going to be an easy win for either of them. No. I think it's going to be a fight all the way to the end. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to end in TKO either way.
And maybe Seibold's like, oh, God, because we saw him the loss against, who was it? It was a final exam. Maybe he takes that loss and goes, man, I really have to prepare more, especially against the Barbarian, how good he is. So maybe he brushes up a little bit and tightens his game up and we get a fantastic match. Hopefully. Yeah.
The only pick that I will give now is that I'm going to side with the Finstock Exchange, so I'm going to go with Craig
on that one now.
Because it would be weird if we didn't.
Yeah.
We
need the points.
Thursday, the 3rd, is going to be, another Finstock Exchange. We get Mark Yodi Riley versus Video Drew.
Coming off of a rough loss in teams. You know he's out for blood.
He's going to be fiery,
he's
baby.
Be fiery. He's going to be.
He's going to be a hot little potato.
Oh yeah. So.
You know? So obviously we are going to go with Mark on this one. Video Drew is somebody who I also don't think is to be underestimated. I feel like when she first debuted, it was kind of like, but I feel like she's definitely tightened up her game.
She's improved. Every time we've seen her, she's upped her game a bit.
Yeah.
And going up against Mark Riley, you're going to have to come to play.
So I do feel like this one, I feel like, you know, we're coming at it from this angle because we obviously are.
Exchange.
I mean, Andrew's an exchange member and I'm a Finstock sympathizer, whatever you want to call it. So I know we're kind of coming at it from that angle.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that Seibold and Video Drew, it's easy to talk about them since they're not on the exchange. But I do feel like they're two people that are very easily underestimated.
Yeah.
So and people, I think both of these are going to be scraps.
And people are underestimating Mark at this point, too, because it's like, how is he not performing? I mean, blah, blah, blah. It's like, come on.
The fan base is vicious.
Yeah,
this
turn
year.
On you.
I don't know what it is, if it's the quarantine stress.
Come on. But show some.
It is vicious.
Show some
because
GD respect to the first champion.
Yeah.
Of the movie Trigger Schmodown. Show some respect, please. Two-time champion.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Because I feel like after Who's the Boss won, it was just a absolute outpouring of Ben Bateman's overrated, Mark Riley's finished. So, you know.
Come on now.
Come on.
Come on.
Everybody's had a bad match here and there. Come on, man.
Come on.
So I'm really excited to see Riley versus Video Drew. I think that's going to be a scrap as well.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that's the week, because then the next one, September 7th, if I'm not mistaken, is the next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that next time. But yeah, it looks like there's a schedule put out.
We don't get a throwdown on Friday?
I don't think so.
We should have. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I found this.
In the Facebook group?
In the Facebook group from Tim Sim.
Oh, yeah. Tim Sim's pretty much on it. So
he seems pretty... He's a visual storyteller, according to Facebook, so he must be on it. But yeah, he posted something for August 31st through September 10th.
Mm.
But we don't want to overload. So we're going to talk about the week, and that seems to be the week, unless it's a throwdown that I'm not aware of. There are exhibition matches that I know we haven't really been touching on.
Yeah. I mean, we can't really, because if you're not a patron, we don't want to be like...
That too. We don't want to exclude anybody and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Giveaway stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that too.
Yeah.
even though it'll be very underwhelming to be like, hey, this exhibition match you can't watch. Guess who won? This person.
Yeah. So
did you enjoy it? That would be kind of, that would be yucky.
Yeah, that'd be yucky.
So that's next week.
Yeah. Loads of matches, like, and yeah. So hopefully our guys can come to perform, get us those much needed points, because it just seems like we're on, and
we're in a sophomore slump, and that's okay.
And we were, and the Horsemen were a lot like this last season. Like, they're one loss away from just like disbanding, and it's like, all right, so now here comes tournament season, and get back at it. So we'll see what happens with these guys. So I think we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. Nikki Benalanta, where can they find you online?
Oh, well, ladies and gents, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me at Dimmy, DimmyYYY.
As for me, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch, Drew DiMalanta, DimmAlanta. To watch this on YouTube.
Well, if you're on YouTube and you want to like and comment and subscribe, and then there's a bell icon in the corner, and then you can click that, and when we do stuff, you'll know about it if you click it because YouTube.
Help us with that algorithm.
Algorithms. Watch hours.
If you listen to this in audio form on the Beyond the Smartdown podcast feed, go ahead and rate us, please. And if you'd like to support the channel and the show, other than just liking, commenting, and subscribing and rating, head on over
to Patreon. Patreon.com/AndrewAndNikki, NICKI. I don't forget what you say after that.
Thank you for picking up the ball when I fumble.
Thank you.
Speaking of the Patreon and the squadron, thank you to our squadron captains, Tamor Butta, Ferris Mathana, Josh Estes, and B Door. Thank you for your continued support. I think that's it. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Schmodown. We will see you next time.